Thank you, Father, that we can come in Jesus' name and to the best of your enabling, we put all the responsibility upon you and give you the praise for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I am going to start and I'll give several messages up to the time of Christmas, the truths that concern this season that the world so idolatrously is beginning to celebrate. I want to draw your attention, and I want you to think as we talk, as I read the scriptures, of these three words, He was made. John 1:14, we read, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Romans 8:3 says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Isaiah 7:14 reads, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5 says, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. And Hebrews 7:22 reads, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Then 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And then Galatians 3:13 said, hath that He hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Now, you may not understand it and realize it, and I know a lot of God's people say, well, what can we do in this day? Well, I agree that there's, however, been no more wonderful time, no more opportune time to reach out to the needy in the name of the Lord Jesus than today. You think of it, it's true that the unspeakably awful and powerful giants of evil are feverishly busy in our time. They're marshaling their armies and they're making their recruits go into the airports, go to the street corners, watch men and women walk up and down the streets and knock at your door. There never was a time when evil was so rampant to make recruits of the human race. And of course, God, however, has not abandoned the field of battle, and His people are well able and mightily strengthened and abundantly equipped and supplied to be far more than conquerors in every day of man's time here on earth. God's children don't have to act like anemic slaves of depression and pessimism and defeat. And of course, I mentioned last Sunday how that loose and alive and active are all those haughty evils that turned every nation up to our time to a vermin-filled hunting ground for all of the beastly forces of evil. You think of Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you realize that even supposedly Bible-believing systems accept without question the sin that caused God to destroy that city. Now you think of it. You can talk about being generous and liberal if you want to. And no one has a heart for the sinner, I don't believe, any more than I do. I don't care what sin you have fallen into and what grips your life. I'll do everything that I can help you. But I'll love you to get you away from the awful clutches of such things. But you think of Nineveh and of Tyre and of Assyria and of Babylon and of Greece and of Rome. These nations and others that God had to simply wrap up in some filthy nothing and throw them on a garbage heap. I want you to know that the very forces that made them rejected of God are rampant in America today. And if you think God will continue on with us, you just don't know God. And you don't know the Bible. But thank God, we can rejoice because we do have the Bible, and it reveals the plan that God has for the human race. And if we'll believe it and follow it, it will make our life's journey successful. Sure. We won't have to wait. We'll know in this life that we're a success. I don't care. You can take me out and burn me at a stake this afternoon, but my life has been a success. I know that. You'll never defeat it. You can burn it to ashes and scatter it over a storm-filled Pacific Ocean, but I'll get up and face you one day. And in my flesh, like Job, I'll see God. And so I know this. But then God's Word is the only true lamp and light to the pathway of man. And it reveals the plan that God has, and it's all in His Son. You must understand, God doesn't have a plan in Buddha. That's the devil's plan. God doesn't have a plan in anyone but Jesus Christ. And you can reject it. I used to think and use the word privilege, but that's not a privilege. At your right. What a sorry right. But I won't argue with you about it. And Jesus, you see, He's the preventive and the curative Savior. He wants to cure you. God sent Him to cure you. God sent Him to prevent you making wreckage of a life that's already wrecked. And you say, how can this be? Well, God will, as I said earlier, give you a brand new start. He'll give you a brand new book of life. And only you can write in it from that time on. You may make horrible choices and such like, but you're the only one. I think I saw... This Derek here nod his head. And I think of since the time he was 12 years old, that's when about that time when I came in contact with him, he just said, that's a good thing. And he threw his life with it, and he's been going with it ever since. Well, he's no fool. He's just no fool. And you may not know it, but you'll find it out someday. But think of these three words. We can look at them in utter amazement and wonder. He was made. Think of that. Think of that. Think of such significant words. They're sweet and warming and musical as far as I am concerned. He was made. But what was He made? What? Well, you think of what you could make. I have seen some of the world's fine artwork in glass and gold and silver, the tapestries and so on. But when they started out to make what they make, they found something fine and they tried to just bring out a beauty in it. But God started with the only fine thing that there was in the universe, and he started to make something ugly and awful out of it. And that's about what it amounts to in the main. And yet how we praise God as we think of how men can take flax and gold and silver and pigments and sand and carbon and such and make what they make. Note first of all, it said he was made flesh. He was made of a woman. He was made under the law. John 1:1-2 says, in the beginning. Now this refers to eternity. The Word was made, or was with God. This speaks of equality. He was equal. And the Word was God. This is deity. He was God. The same was in the beginning with God. This shows his pre-existence. Before time, he was there. He was God. He was with God. He was God. And yet here in the 14th verse we read, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Why was this? Why did God make his Son flesh? Romans 8:3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So we have the pre-existent Christ who was not flesh back before the morning stars sang together, before this world came forth. They're wrapped in the swaddling clothes of a million galaxies of light. He, we read in John 1:3, the worlds were made by him. You want to know where they came from? Oh, you say this. This is utterly foolish. It's foolish if you have no faith. But the Bible tells us, through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, if I knew, Brother Gies, if I knew you were the finest worker in gold and silver that this world had ever seen, and I came across a beautiful ring, and someone said, why, Ray Gies made that. I'd say, I believe he did. I know he could do that. I have met him. I know his ability. I know what he can do. Now that's God. If you don't know anything about God, you can believe the fool's story that all of this just evolved. God let us get far enough to get that satellite out there and look at Saturn. And it just knocked a lot of the theories completely flat on their face. A lot of these brainy fellas that knew all about where they'd never been. Now, don't tell me, if you've never been in Paris, don't tell me what it's like. I'll know you're a fool. Sure. If you've never looked at the Grand Canyon, don't try to tell me what it looks like. Stupid. But some of these so-called brainy guys, some man conferred on them a PhD or something of that nature, and suddenly, because you're ignorant, you think they're smart. Now you think a moment. God made all things. So before the waters gathered, before the land appeared, before the first blade of grass appeared on the earth, before the first bird sang, before Lucifer was the anointed cherub, our Savior was not flesh. He was God. He was equal with God. He was in the beginning. He was before all things. But he was made flesh. Isn't that a wonder? And when he drew the blueprint up for the body of man, as he put the skeletal bones, the framework there, and as he filled it with flesh, and as he put miles of blood vessels and miles of nerves, and as he put its pump and its cleaning systems, its hinges and one thing and another, he knew one day, I who inhabit eternity am going to live in a body like I'm built. So precious hearts. He was made of a woman. He was made flesh. A virgin gave him birth. And yes, he was made flesh, as it was in this flesh that he had to suffer and die. It was this flesh in which his heart broke and mingled with a sweat stream until it was said he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And can you imagine old Judas when he reached up and kissed him, and a little later he felt something sticky up here and he reached up and there was blood. He said, I've got to get rid of this. But he isn't rid of it. You see, there's only one way you can really get rid of it. And that's wash your dirty black heart in it. And somehow, though your sins be as crimson, though they be red like the wool, he'll make them whiter than the snow, or red like crimson and blood red. He'll make them like the wool and like the snow. And so there, he must in this body be more marred than any man. And it was this flesh that took as severe a beating as one could ever take and stay alive. And he would have died had he not been who he was. It was this flesh that was taken and nailed to a cross. And then he was made of a woman. You could think, well, if he came into this world, surely he would take in some kind of a special flesh. No. For inasmuch as the children of men were partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise himself took part of the same, that he might destroy him who hath the power of death, that is the devil. He knew you had an enemy. He knew someone would deceive you. He knew someone would carry you off into a Christless eternity unless he destroyed him. The devil has the power of death over you. Don't you know that? Apart from God, there's nothing you can do about it. You can get an education, it'll do you no good. You can get rich, it'll do you no good. You can do whatever you will, none of them will take the fear of death out of your life. There's only one person that can enable you to say with David those sweet and comforting words that only the Christian knows. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. And if you ever see me take that journey, you just tell them I didn't take it alone. Well, so here he is. Now notice, Isaiah tells us that this flesh would be from a virgin. And Luke said, she had never known a man. And the angel told Joseph, he said, don't be afraid to take her. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And so, such an event occurred only one marvelous once. That's never happened again and never will happen again. One marvelous once, a virgin conceived. Never knew a man. And this was when he was made of a woman. Oh, Paul tells that it was when the fullness of time had come. And when it came, he said, that was from eternity before time began. This one was born to a woman of time, and she who was loved of God before the foundation of the world one day nursed her Creator at her breast. You precious Catholics, I know what you mean by the Immaculate Conception, but you don't know what you mean. Why would God have to show grace to someone that was divine, who had come down from heaven? Great grace is upon you, Mary! I'm going to show you grace. You don't deserve anything. You're not something special. I could pick up a million virgin girls, but I have chosen you. Oh, how the Bible knocks evil in the head. I'll tell you one thing. There is one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. There is no other that can get the heart of God. Don't be afraid to step on the Word of God. It'll give you comfort. Yes, honey, it will. And it has. Your daddy and them write you every once in a while and tell you what an awful mistake and how God's going to curse you and one thing and another. Don't be afraid of that. Just write back Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Say, read it for yourself. I'm in Christ. I'm not afraid. Why, glory to God. Well, this makes us possible for us to really be saved. Precious hearts, this is the alpha of our salvation, and to accept it in our hearts makes it possible for us to go on to the omega. Reject it, and you'll have to die in your sins. Then he was made under the law. Why? To redeem them that were under the law. Now, this was God's high and holy purpose. Everything he did in the person of his son, he wanted to redeem you. He wanted to save you. He loves you. He longs for you. Oh, he can't look upon your sin with the least degree of allowance. But when he looks at you, if you will just simply accept it, he can see you in his son. And so here we are. He was made under that law, which was not given for the righteous man, but for the sinner and the ungodly, for the lawless, for the disobedient. You know why they say 35 miles on the street? That's not given for these fellows that drive along 30 miles an hour. Know why you got you policemen sitting here? Huh? That's because men are lawless. Oh, you say, I'm good. My. How can you be so deceived? You're not good. You want me to read your record? I don't have time, but come to my office and I'll read your record. You're vile and filthy. Your self-righteousness is one of the filthiest things there is in the human race, for the Bible says it's like filthy rags. That's the leper's rag with which he wiped the pus from his putrid, rotting flesh. Well, he was made under the law, and he died under the law, and he took it out of the way, Paul tells us, nailing it to its cross. It can no longer bar the entrance of anyone. I don't care how wicked, how ungodly, how awful. I don't care. And I often say, if you've all but raked through the kennels of hell itself, he can redeem you. He can save you. But he can't save you if you say, I don't need him. I'm good. I'm religious. The Pharisees rejected him. They wanted no part of him. They were the ones that demanded his blood. And these Pharisees, could anything worse be said of a person than Jesus said of them? He said, you know what you are? He said, you're a generation of snakes. When I was a boy, and I've told it two or three times in my life, I was going across the country to my brother's, walking, little kid. And I was going over and stay a few days with him, and I was going down the road, and I saw a young rabbit, and I figured, well, maybe I can kill that young rabbit. And I ran after him. He ran in under a culvert under the road. And I got down and looked in there, and just a few feet from there was a ball of snakes that big. You know, that's the way they mate. And there they were, and viper heads every direction. When I learned that Jesus called the Pharisees a generation of snakes, I thought of that. He said, you indeed clean up the outside of the platter, but within there is filth and vomit. Oh, how unappetizing. Only a dog likes filth and vomit. Precious hearts, think a little bit. Don't let the devil sack you without thinking. Well, he died under the law. You can come. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And then he was made a curse. That word curse, I wrote it down here somewhere, I think. Yes. The word curse, it means an utterance consigning to evil or invoking divine vengeance. Specifically, an ecclesiastical censure or anathema to damn. That's incredible, isn't it? Who can describe the injustice of it? He who was able to challenge men in his day, 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, they crowded around him and would accuse him, and he said, which one of you can convince me of sin? Then he could say to the woman that was brought to him in the act of adultery by those Pharisees, he said, let him who is without fault cast the first stone. He said, you wouldn't have had sin if I hadn't come. You hate me because I show you up. It's like putting a black, awful something alongside the brightest light that you can think of. Well, made a curse. Think of that. He who spoke into existence the earth on which we live, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat, the clothing we wear, the fire by which we warm, the cool breezes. What would you people, we have some folk down in that hot country. I spent some time with them this summer. I'd hate to have stayed in your home, brother, without that good air conditioning that your wife turned on that night. You know where I'd have been? I'd have gone out and slept on the grass or in a tree. I don't care how many rattlesnakes you got around there. But here they are. You see, precious hearts. Oh, he made all that possible. He was made a curse. Never a curse to anybody, but made a curse for everybody. Think about it. Oh, who was so human? He was just so human. He grew weary. He fell asleep. He was yet so divine that he could invite the human race. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. Well, I'm going to go to the last one. Made sin. You see, it gets more terrible and more terrible and more terrible. Made sin. He who knew no sin. God made sin. See, this was a transaction. I've had people to come to me. And I've often thought about it. And in their need, they would come. And I would either pay off or loan them the money to pay off a debt. And just like God, usually they leave me holding the bag. But I'm going to tell you. I'll tell you. This one was made sin who knew no sin. John the Baptist, who could condemn everybody in Israel, as he saw Jesus standing on the banks of the Jordan, he paused and said, oh, he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Here is the one man that can take your sin. Here is the one man that has never sinned. The Bible tells us that he knew no sin, and he was without sin, and he could not sin. He was not conceived in sin. There was no way. And yet one day, on that cross, God made him to be sin for we who knew no sin. Why? That's the only way he could pay our debt. That's the only way he could cover our obligation. The Bible couldn't be changed, and God said, the soul that sinneth must die. It's a good thing we're living in the day of grace. All of us would be taken out this morning and stoned, and then you'd have to stone the people that stoned us. Pilate, who judged him by the Roman law, said, I find no fault in this man. His wife had a dream and urged Pilate, have nothing to do with this just man. Judas, who was the treasurer and betrayed him, said, I have betrayed the blood of an innocent man. The centurion who had charge of the crucifixion, as he watched him, said, surely this was the Son of God. And the sun said, I can't shine. They wouldn't pull curtains. You know, I've been around many deathbeds, and I've watched them. And the common courtesy, as someone dies, they'll pull the curtains and close the eyes and whatever. Man laughed and shot out the lip and said, he saved others. Let him come down. If he's the Son of God, let him save himself. But thank God he didn't listen to that. Oh, where would I be if he'd have taken the challenge? But the sun said, we'll pull the curtains. And the sun just shut its shining off. Nature groaned, the rocks rent, the graves were opened. Even before he said, come forth, the graves opened and gave up certain of their dead. Oh, the power of that death, the power that God exercised when He raised Him from the dead can make the vilest sinner clean. Well, God said, "This is me, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I think of the love, the mercy, the grace, as that sinless one was made sin." Think of it, sin, the darkest, saddest fact of the universe. Sin. You know why you have cemeteries? Sin. You know why you have hospitals? Sin. You know why you have to stand and say goodbye when you don't want to say goodbye to something that you love better than life itself? Sin. You know what's back of every tear, every heartache, every heartbreak, every crooked thing that's done? Sin. God made Him to be that thing. Oh, think of it. Every devastating thing, every storm, every turmoil. Go out in the woods and hear a bird crying in fear and go and see a snake devouring it. Sin. Let your child go out to your rose garden and let him scratch himself. Sin. Come to a place and it says, "Beware the dog." Walk in and get your legs torn off. Sin. Sure. Why do you carry that gun and that badge? Lee, why is it you have to go around with a gun and a badge? We're going to retire you two feathers. No job for you, but we want you to come and take a part of our job.
Praise the Lord.
Ah, yes, Lee, as you rode that motorcycles up and down the highway like a madman and that precious woman sitting beside him, you would come to my office and cry and weep. You know what that was? S-I-N!
But Jesus loved you.
Oh, God made Him flesh. He made Him of a woman. He made Him under the law. He made Him a curse. He made Him to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Revel in it. Enjoy it. Appreciate it. Shout about it. Tell everybody what's happened. Sure. Tell them. Say, "Yes, I'm a failure. I was a failure. But I don't care if you're worth $100 million and they think you're the cream of American society. You're a dead lost failure. Until you know Christ as your Savior." Let's pray. Now, while every head is bowed, on my left, do you need prayer? Will you raise your hand? On my right? Oh, yes. Father, oh God, speak with that voice that raises the dead. Men and women that are tied up in the grave clothes of this world's foolishness, help them to know. Oh God, remove the shackles, remove the awful, awful afflictions that will bring them to death. Give you the praise in Jesus' name.